Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Friday, March 20th, 2026. I'm your host, Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Backblaze. Leading off today, Apple is widely expected to unveil its first foldable iPhone later this year. However, a new rumor today says the foldable iPhone could actually launch months after the iPhone 18 Pro. Barclays analyst Tim Long says he believes, based on his research, that the iPhone Fold could launch in December. With the exception of 2020, Apple has announced and released new iPhones in September since the iPhone 5 in 2012. Still, it wouldn't be too surprising to see Apple release its most expensive iPhone model a few months after the flagship iPhone 18 Pro and iPhone 18 Pro Max. Apple has also historically released its radically new models 1 to 2 months after announcing the full lineup. For example, the iPhone X in 2017 arrived in November, 2 months after the launch of the iPhone 8. A year later, the iPhone XR arrived in October, a month after the iPhone XS. And finally, iPhone 14 Plus also arrived in October, a month after the rest of the iPhone 14 lineup. So if this is the case, we can still expect Apple to announce the iPhone Fold, or whatever it actually ends up being called, alongside the iPhone 18 Pro in September. You would then have to make the decision about whether to buy the iPhone 18 Pro or wait a few extra months to get the iPhone Fold. Separately, Tim Long from Barclays expects Apple to release either an iPhone 18 Plus or an iPhone Air 2, alongside the standard iPhone 18 and iPhone 18e in March of 2027. So to recap, we're expecting iPhone 18 Pro in September, iPhone Fold in December, followed by the standard iPhone 18, the iPhone 18e, and potentially an iPhone Air 2 or iPhone 18 Plus in March. Next up today, Mac users who prefer Gemini for their AI interactions might not have to wait much longer for a dedicated app. Bloomberg reports that Google has quietly started beta testing an early version of a Gemini app for macOS with select users. Google is telling testers that this is an early version of the Gemini app for Mac, and it's asking for feedback. It also says the app will only have critical features, so it won't be the full-fledged experience from other platforms. Code for the Gemini app on macOS also hints at a feature called Desktop Intelligence. This feature would let Gemini see what you see on your Mac screen, such as screen context, and pull content from those apps directly to improve and personalize your experience in Gemini. Bloomberg says the current interface for the Gemini app on Mac looks similar to the existing versions of the app for iPhone and iPad. There's no timeline on when Google plans to formally ship Gemini for macOS, but as it stands right now, it's a big hole in the accessibility for Gemini, with macOS users currently being required to access the platform via the web. Meanwhile, companies like Anthropic and OpenAI offer dedicated Mac apps for Claude and ChatGPT, respectively. We are sponsored this week by Backblaze. If you're working on taxes right now, your Mac probably has everything: returns, invoices, receipts, and years of financial records. If you use iCloud, your files are synced across devices. On an iPhone, that also includes device backups. On a Mac, it mostly keeps things in sync, and that works well for access. But if your Mac failed tonight, could you restore everything tomorrow? Time Machine is excellent, but it requires a local drive. That's where Backblaze comes in. Backblaze runs automatically in the background and creates an off-site backup of your entire Mac with version history, including external drives. You install it once and you're set. iCloud for sync, Time Machine for local backup, and Backblaze for automatic off-site protection. Go to backblaze.com/9to5Mac and get 20% off with code 9to5daily. My thanks to Backblaze for their support of the show. Next up today, Apple has published a new support document that encourages customers to update to the latest iOS versions in order to protect their iPhone from web attacks. Apple says, quote, "Security researchers recently identified web-based attacks that target out-of-date versions of iOS through malicious web content. For example, if you're using an older version of iOS and were to click a malicious link or visit a compromised website, the data on your iPhone might be at risk of being stolen," end quote. Apple also says that it thoroughly investigated these issues as they were found and released software updates as quickly as possible for the most recent operating system versions to address vulnerabilities and disrupt these attacks. Those updates, however, only apply if you actually update your iPhone. So Apple says that devices running iOS 13 and iOS 14 should update to iOS 15 to receive these protections. Those users will also see an additional alert on their phone in the coming days to install a critical security update. iOS 26.3.1 is the latest public version of iOS. Apple is also still updating iOS 18 and recently released iOS 18.7.6. Older devices not capable of running iOS 18 or later should be running iOS 15.8.7 or iOS 16.7.15 to have these latest security updates. Rounding out today, we have two new developments in Apple's ongoing patent battle with health technology company Masimo over the Apple Watch's blood oxygen feature. First, in an initial determination filed on Wednesday, an administrative law judge for the ITC wrote that there is, quote, no underlying act of direct infringement, end quote, on Masimo patents by the redesigned version of Apple Watch's blood oxygen feature. As a refresher, Apple's redesigned version of the feature moves most of the process to the iPhone rather than the Apple Watch. You can still start a blood oxygen reading on Apple Watch itself, but you must view the results on your paired iPhone. The judge's determination is an initial recommended determination. It now goes to the full ITC commission for ruling. What it means, though, is that Apple can continue offering the current version of the blood oxygen feature in the United States for Apple Watch users. In a statement, Apple said, quote, we thank the administrative law judge for her careful consideration and are pleased with the decision. For 6 years, Masimo has brought dozens of false claims against Apple, nearly all of which have been rejected. We will continue innovating to create industry-leading health, wellness, and life-saving features for our users. End quote. The second development is that the United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit has affirmed the original ITC decision in this case from 2023. This is the exclusion order that first forced Apple to halt Apple Watch sales in the U.S. briefly in December 2023. A few weeks later, Apple resumed selling the Apple Watch in the U.S., but with the blood oxygen feature disabled. Then, of course, it launched the redesigned version of the feature in August of 2025. With this decision by the Federal Circuit, the original exclusion order remains in place. This means Apple is permitted to continue selling the Apple Watch with the redesigned version of the feature in the United States, but it cannot restore the original version of the feature. Apple says that it disagrees with this decision and is evaluating all avenues for further review. It says it believes the ruling is misguided and there's no impact on the ability for users to continue using the current blood oxygen feature available today in the United States. That wraps up another episode and another week of 9 to 5 Mac Daily. As always, if you like the show, it is very, very helpful to us if you head to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review. You can find an ad-free version of the show at 9to5mac.com/join for $5 a month or $50 a year. Find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow along with me on Threads and elsewhere at Chance H. Miller. And we'll be back on Monday for a new week of Apple News.